This is the SML Podcast.
This is not going to be the Cookie Cast.
No, there's only one left, so it can't be the Cookie Cast.
Like when you're talking to me with a mouthful of fucking cookies.
But it's so entertaining. And I get to eat cookies. It's a win-win. You know?
No, it's not.
It totally is.
Are you done?
Nope.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
But I'm just so
And this is the SML Podcast.
But hold on.
Episode 59.
Ha! Hi.
You dickhead. We are expecting a guest calling in a few minutes, but until then, might as well
chat about some news.
Get the intros out. Well, news, you've been, once again, balls deep in Diablo.
Yes, but this is for a different reason now, because as of midnight last night, Reaper of Souls is live. Yay! It's fun. It's really cool. I haven't gotten too much of a chance to like really delve into it too much, but yeah, I mean, like, the level design, you can tell they kind of approach certain things completely differently than vanilla, you know, from two years ago, essentially. But yeah, level design's really cool. Character design's really cool. A lot of the new items and loot drops are really cool. The mystic's really cool. I think overall it's pretty cool. It's good. I think I'll have more to report on it, like, once I can play it more than just 2 hours. So, but yeah, so
bitch,
far I'm happy.
Bitch, bitch.
And I really like how they implemented, like, introducing the patch into the live game. So essentially what it was is, like, well, it wasn't a patch. Like, they implemented all of the data and stuff, like, maybe, like, a week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And, so my game updated well over, yeah, probably about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, something like that. And so as soon as it was midnight, our time, and Reaper of Souls went live, they essentially just sent out like a server message. And it's just like, Reaper of Souls is now live. Have fun. Like, and they're like, oh, okay, cool. You didn't have to exit the game that you were currently in, because like I was playing the game. I was still progressing all the way up until the end of Act 4, which would be killing, well, spoilers, killing Diablo.
What?
Yeah, you killed Diablo, right?
Diablo!
Because the end of that would start the next act, which would be the one from the expansion. I killed Diablo, and then it's literally like, do you want to start the next act? Yep. And then it just started right up. Like, I didn't have to exit the game that I was currently in, and I didn't have to do any patching because it was already taken care of in advance. Like, servers didn't fucking crash. Like, it was nice. It was really nice.
I was very,
very happy with it, especially because I worked yesterday and I got out really late, and I'm like, oh my God, if the servers are down, I'm going to be so upset. And all
well, it is a, what, a two-year-old game?
Technically, yeah. But you remember how fucking terrible the launch was.
So. Yeah, even still, I would hope that a two-year-old game has its shit worked out server-wise?
You would think that a game company like Blizzard would have had their shit together when it got launched.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. So.
So 2 years later, I would definitely expect it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But
speaking of DeBurbler, did you hear about any of the version 2.1 updates this summer?
We're already at 2.03, so 2.1?
Yes.
Oh, ladder.
Uh-huh.
Yep, they're adding the ladder back in, which that's going to be cool. And there's going to be like...
seasons.
Yeah, because essentially
and
what they're
tiered rifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming you know what this shit means, but I'm just reading.
But yeah, so, well, seasons, essentially how it works is... And they kind of did the same thing with D2, after the expansion and stuff like that. What they ended up doing was, like, each season for the ladder, like, they would add some more items into the game. And essentially what the ladder is you're just trying to level your character up to a certain level and experience points and whatever, you know, as quick and as efficiently as possible to reach the leaderboards of your class or your region or whatever. So it's essentially kind of like it adds a little bit of a competitiveness to it. which is really kind of nice, but it still doesn't take away from, like, you're still playing the game the same way. So you still get to quest, you still get to, you know, do all that kind of stuff. So it adds, like, this subtle bit of competition, which is kind of nice. Like, you don't have to get into it, but it's cool that it's there now. But yeah, so essentially each season... Oh, hey!
Who that be?
Let's see here. Hello?
Hey, Chris.
Hello?
Hola.
How are you?
Good. How's it going? Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
I was just talking about the new Diablo expansion. Yay.
Oh.
But all right. Now that our guest called, no more Diablo talk.
Nope. I'm cutting myself off. I'm not going to talk Diablo.
Unlike last week where 45 minutes was devoted to your obsession of Diablo.
I know.
But anyway, we have a special guest who obviously just called in. Would you like to introduce yourself, good sir?
Hi, I'm Nero Gonzalez. I made Destructoid that one time.
That one time. And it's just been going on ever since, right?
Yeah, it's like a long running joke. It's a joke on everyone. I made a video game blog, and it became my job.
And so it became a corgi website.
It became a website about corgis.
Mostly corgis.
Yeah,
something like that.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm resting from GDC. It was quite a production this year for us.
What kind of good stuff did Destructoid do at GDC?
Well, this year we decided, first of all, I stepped down from CEO. I put Hamza Aziz in charge. He has been with the company forever, and now he's kind of running the show.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good stuff. So I'm still founder, and I had all this free time, and I decided that we would throw the biggest party we've ever had in the history of the company at GDC. Damn. and that's what we did. We came up with this robot themed concept and invited a bunch of DJs and all of our friends to help out, and it was madness. It was insane. There's photos of it on our website. And we want to bring it to PAX East. That's what I'm currently working on.
Damn.
I want to go to PAX. I had to sell my tickets. I'm really upset. Wah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to wah for a little bit. Wah, wah. Wah.
I couldn't get tickets in the first place, but.
Oh, my goodness. I wish you guys would have came. I bought a CO2 cannon, and we sprayed the crowd with it, and then we handed out laser guns, and people were shooting back at the girl dressed in the robot helmet. It was great. It was a really good time.
Oh my lord.
I need to find these pictures.
If there was ever a time in my life that I wish I worked for Destructoid,
now would be the time.
And I'm just like flown to all these special events that go on.
Good times.
Yeah. Damn.
I'm so proud of myself for expensing a CO2 cannon as a business expense.
Yeah, we totally needed this. This is a necessity.
I'm just at the, you know, like...
We can't throw a bitchin' company party without a CO2 cannon.
That's true. It's true. I mean, like, what are you going to show up with? A fucking potato gun or a marshmallow launcher? Like, nobody wants that.
We had no idea how loud it was going to be, and I think we upset some people.
Oh, my lord.
Next time, you'll have to take a trebuchet with you.
Oh goodness!
Oh, man.
It was so I found a 20-pound gallon of this the CO2 stuff, and I couldn't figure out how to get it home, so I just called a taxi, and so I'm trying to kind of like hide it behind me as the taxi's pulling up, so he wouldn't like drive away. I'm trying to be subtle about it, trying to get into the back of a taxi with a giant canister of
CO2.
He was very nervous. I pointed at the non-flammable sign, and he was okay with it.
This is not explosive, I swear. Oh, man.
Oh, my. Wow.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, by the way. It's a real treat. I rarely get to do these things.
I am really, really glad that you can make it on. So far, we've had Nick Chester on and Dale North on, so we're just trying to plow through the Destructoid lineup.
We're just going to eventually, like, have every single person that's ever contributed for the website on.
Well, I tried.
That might take a while, but we'll do it.
Yeah, I tried talking with Colette to get her on, but the whole working with HLN thing, she can't do anything else.
Oh, that's too bad. She's really funny.
Yeah. So, now that you have stepped down as CEO of Destructoid, what's next for you?
Well, I'm still involved. I'm, you know, I still have like an advisor role, I guess, in all parts of the company. Max Scoville took over our video department, so I'm working with him on some stuff, and you know, helping Hamza kind of shape the next 2 years.
Nice.
We want to do a really cool thing for year 10. You know, we just celebrated 8 years of Destructoid, which is crazy.
Yeah, same day that I celebrated 6 years with my wife. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not. Hey, have you ever heard about this website called Destructoid? Oh my God, take me right now. Something like that. Maybe.
You never know.
I just imagine that's kind of how the conversation might have gone.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness. 6 years, huh? Yeah, so it's 8 years for us, and you know, 10 years is going to be ridiculous. So I'm trying to start, you know, planning on what that's going to be.
Are you not going to enlist the help of the band 10 years? Are you?
There's a band called 10 years.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, please don't.
Like, just, I like them.
I figured you would.
Shut your whore mouth. they're like modern rock, so Chris doesn't like it if it's popular.
That's not true. I have a raging hard-on for Lady Gaga and Sarah Bareilles at the same time.
Well, Lady Gaga might have a raging hard-on for you.
Hey, I would take it gladly.
Do you guys know Grimecraft?
One more time?
Grimecraft?
No.
I think
his name is Clark. He played at our party. He was amazing. He's kind of a chiptunes EDM guy.
Who else did you have playing there?
Mike Hill and Ray, who actually used to be our video guy.
Oh, Gutierrez?
Yeah, Gutierrez.
Nice.
So he did. Yeah, it was a pretty good mix of so Mike Hill is more of like chill out music Clark, and then Ray was like hard. we went pretty hard at midnight.
Nice. I was honestly expecting to hear A Rival played there because he plays everywhere.
He does. He's getting around. He's really
He played our PAX Prime last year, I believe.
There nice. You go.
Good guy. Yeah. Popular fellow.
Taken.
Yeah, he was showing off some of his games at our room at Magfest this year.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, the Pixel Noir stuff.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm sad you didn't make MAGFest this year.
Yeah, total bummer. I was out of the country, actually.
Wow.
That's a legitimate reason.
Yeah, usually, yeah. He was actually at the Brotel party last year. Yeah, that's where I first met you, good sir, at the Brotel party at MAGFest.
that was good times.
I'm still really upset that I actually don't have any pictures of myself from the lumberjent party this year. I'm very upset because I was dapper as fuck. Actually.
You were looking good.
Like, I had a turtleneck on and everything, man. I was ready.
I thought I was looking pretty good for once.
You were. I'm actually really upset that Pappy didn't get any pictures of himself with all those goddamn suits he was wearing the entire weekend. He had suits on like every day of MAGFest.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's so much work.
Yeah, he was dead set on being the host of the party room this year. And I think immediately after MAGFest, he's like, yeah, it was fun, but I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get to have any fun.
I roll in like sandals and shorts. That's kind of my MO.
Yeah.
I wish I could wear shorts in January and not feel cold. I love shorts. I can't wait until I can wear shorts now. I'm actually really upset that it's almost April and I can't wear fucking shorts yet because it's snowing outside.
Oh, suck it up, pussy. Put shorts on.
But it's snowing outside.
It's snowing.
I'm so upset.
In high school, I had a friend who wore shorts every single day of the school year.
The guitar player from Ethereal Collapse, I've never seen him in anything but basketball shorts.
Nice.
Like, I've never seen him wear something other than basketball shorts. Ever. Ever. Like, I'm pretty sure I may have seen him at some sort of formal event, and he was wearing basketball shorts because that's all he owns.
Were they dapper basketball shorts?
No. And that's the thing. Like, he didn't even try to make them, like, a solid color. Like, it was like, it's one of the ones where it's like black with like a red swoopy stripe going down the side and then nice. Like outlined in blue and like, yeah, no, it's fucking bad. So Destructoid.
Yes. What led you to create Destructoid? Where did all that come from?
Oh goodness. So many, many moons ago when I was working in a soul sucking advertising job, I had all my friends over for my birthday. It's actually, you know, the same day that we had our GDC party. So we started the company. It's also my birthday. I'm 36 now.
I'm 33, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, getting old, man.
I was 2 days after you, March 18th. So.
Well, happy birthday, man. Happy
birthday. Happy birthday to you, too. We're Pisces buddies.
Yeah, we're Pisces buddies. I can't swim for the fucking life of me.
I think the only Pisces that you're aware of are Reese's Pisces.
Yes. They are delicious. Which means that Nero is delicious.
Yeah.
You guys are too cool.
So anyway, in ye olden days of 2008.
In ye olden days.
When I graduated high school.
Oh God. I think I was 26 or 27. We were all just kind of like shooting the shit, playing Shadow of the Colossus at my house and, pondering where we could like run away to, from our jobs that summer. And, that's when the Wii and the PS3 were announced. And we were also excited about, you know, the news coming out of E3 and we're like, oh, you know what, why don't we try to sneak into E3 or, you know, why don't we try to go? And obviously we got rejected because we were nobody. And so we started looking into it and we figured out that blogs can get press credentials under certain circumstances where if you had like a certain amount of page views, then you would qualify for a media badge, which I thought was ridiculous. I was like, oh my God, you know, we can build a WordPress blog tonight. And my friend had like a bikini blog or whatever. And he started linking Detoid articles to it. And I started sending out articles to Joystick and Kotaku and basically just trying to figure out what kind of articles they would link to from external sites and trying to write those. So like my stuff was like, you know, how to build a computer for less than, you know, what Dell's charging for their gaming PC. And, you know, this screenshot is obviously, you know, doctored and, you know, there's no way this game is going to look like that. So I was basically hating on press releases. And, that was kind of my MO. And it was filthy. Like it was just cursing and anger and filth. And it was really raw. And I think it resonated with a lot of people because it was just, there was no filter, right? And that, you know, that's kind of like the spirit of Detoid. We're just guys that love games and we're really passionate about it and we're just nuts. The game, the name Destructoid just kind of sounds like just angry. I couldn't find like gamewebsite.com that wasn't taken, so I just started coming up with funny names and Detoid came up, or Destructoid. We called it Detoid later because no one could spell it.
I fucked it up because I had, for whatever reason, I put D-I-S instead of D-E-S because I'm a retard. But yeah, we got it eventually. I mean, I remember, like, Joe, what was one of the first ways that you found out about Destructoid? Because I remember exactly how I found out about Destructoid.
God, how did I find out? I think I first found out about the site when Dale started writing for you guys as just like the music guy in the days before he became Mr. Editor-in-Chief?
Yeah. Well, that's way back.
Yeah, he said he was going to write some articles there about the game remixing scene and maybe game music albums. And I started reading. This is back in the days where instead of people getting pissed off at anything Jim Sterling wrote, everyone got pissed off at stuff that Robert Summa wrote.
Yeah, that was like 2007, huh?
Yeah.
So I get my press credentials, and I'm really, really excited about working on the site. I loved getting up early in the morning and responding to comments. And like I was like sneaking around work trying to, you know, get articles done. And at the end of the night, I would come home and write more articles. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time wanted to choke me. So I was obsessed. I was crazy. I did nothing but like want to just work on Detoid. And, you know, in working in advertising, I thought, you know, this could potentially become a business. If I work hard enough at it, if I can get enough viewership, I can make this my job. And I was just, I was hell bent. I was insane. So E3 rolls around and I'm looking at, you know, how do I promote Detoid at the event? And I'm looking at, you know, the prices for boots and, you know, like the minimum buy is like, you know, $10,000 plus another $800 for Ethernet cable. And that gives you like a table. You get a table and a chair. It doesn't even include a booth. I'm like, there's no way I can do this. And like I had just upgraded my PC to play like, you know, Half-Life 2 Lost Coast or something. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna pull my second video card out and put it back in the box, and I'm gonna print out a flyer to give this video card out, and I'm gonna make a costume that looks like my logo so that I can pass out the flyer, and that way people will notice me. So that's how the helmet came about.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking around my house like, how am I gonna make a robot helmet? And I noticed that my air conditioner grill kind of looks like the mouth. So I went to Home Depot and I bolted together a helmet, and I used like light reflectors for the eyes, and the ears are made out of measuring cups from my kitchen. And that was the original helmet.
Nice.
And for the purpose of passing out a flyer to give out my video card so people would come check out my blog. So, and then what happened at E3 was legendary. It was, you know, the head of the ESA was giving a speech, and, you know, I thought, you know, this is my first gaming convention, and I knew that people cosplay at gaming conventions. I didn't think I was going to be that weird, you know, to walk around in a robot helmet. But I didn't realize that media doesn't do that. And so half of the media got really, really offended and were like, oh, look at what bloggers are like, blah, blah, blah. And then the other half of the media was like, this is the funniest thing ever. So we were like, just like, game politics wrote us up, and it was like the most polarizing, like, you know, there was like factions of like, you know, is gaming journalism too serious or are we not? So we kind of became like the poster child of that. And then the head of the ESA at the time, Lowenstein, I think his name was, he thought I was like some sort of like comedian puppet or something. And he like, he ran across the convention center to like get away from me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I just wanted to talk. And he was like, he was sprinting.
So getting chased through E3 by a man in a robot helmet.
Oh my God. And yeah. So my buddy has this on film and we're just making fun of this, you know, and then, you know, for some reason we put up like a Naruto trailer and like YouTube bans my account and I lost all this footage.
Wow.
Super sucks. So we lost all our early video stuff. But anyway, so, you know, antics like that, like, you know, Suma getting fired from Joystick and me picking up the next day so he can like, you know, tell off like his boss or, you know, take me too seriously. I just kind of like chased controversy a little bit because I knew that like that rougher, like, you know, like no filter type of journalism was what was, I think, was missing, or at least it seemed like more fun to me to read. And that's kind of like the spirit of Detoid. And, you know, I just started hiring, you know, my friends from, you know, the most dedicated readers from the forums and people that I thought had a unique voice, you know, Dale obviously being one of them, you know, Hamza, you know, Suma at the time, you know, Sterling obviously is, you know, now world famous and moved on to bigger and better things.
I will say, so I miss Jim Sterling reviews on Destructoid.
Yeah, we all miss him. You know, these are all. I feel like I've like fathered like many children. these are all my kids. You know, they're all over the place. You know, Colette's at. You know that. What is she doing now? I thought she was at CNN or.
I think it's part of it's HLN, which I think is owned by CNN. I think it's all the same, but CNN, HLN, whatever.
Yeah, Nick is at Harmonix. Yeah. Anthony Butch is now at Gearbox with his sister. And
well, and that's the thing. That's actually how I found out about Destructoid was the Hey Ash, What You Playing videos. Because like a buddy of mine was just like, yo, I found this. You got to watch this. It's hysterical, blah, blah, blah. And like ever since then, I was hooked. And that was honestly like what brought me to the site. Because I was just like, oh, that's where the videos are hosted. So I would watch a couple videos, and then I'd go through them like, oh, I'm going to read some other shit on the website and just see what it's all about, and then just get lost for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I love the community part of the site where anybody can just, you know, sign up and, you know, start a blog and, you know, get their work on the homepage. That to me is like my favorite feature of the whole site. And, you know, we want to do more of that. And, I don't know. It's still, you know, I wake up every day and read the site. It's still a lot of fun for me. 8 years later, here I am. And then I moved across the country and, you know, I started the site in Miami and I was spending so much money flying back and forth. And I just like, let me just go for it. So I booked a one-way ticket to San Francisco and, you know, now we have a video team and everything else.
Damn.
It's been a pretty crazy ride for me. Yeah. Lived out of a hotel for 3 weeks. So I was like, it's been scary sometimes, you know, but I just wanted to, I don't know, like, you know, you look back on your life and it's like, you know, did I go for it? And I can honestly say that I went balls to the wall on this idea.
Yeah, like, you pretty much did. Giving away a video card at E3.
Yeah.
That's pretty balls to the wall.
And there's so many, and a lot of the editors will share stories like that. You know, there's a guy, you know, guys that started out as, you know, like mattress salesmen, and, you know, sneaking around on their 3G phones, posting articles for us. And, you know, then they, you know, become our features editor and they move out here. You know, everyone has a really crazy story. And I think it'd be fun to get everybody together and, you know, tell that. Like, you know, like John Carnage, for example, I met him randomly at a video game convention in Miami. And he was practically homeless. So I said, hey, you know, come live in my garage. It's full of spiders. He's like, okay. And he starts doing a show for us on Justin TV. And, you know, 100 million views later, he's now the content director at Twitch. And, you know, now we have a whole streaming department for some reason.
Wow.
Stuff like that is just nuts.
I hope one day I could have a crazy story like that. But so far, my story is, I was going to write about Rock Band for Dale, but that never happened. So I wrote for the Gaming Vault until the owner of that went psycho. And then I was one of four people to help create safecontinue.com that gets like 12 visitors a month.
Something like that, yeah.
So I guess my story is still in process.
It's still in progress.
It's a common thing though that you said, you know, now that you say that, a lot of sites that started at the same time we did sort of imploded, just kind of, you know, what do you think that is? Like, I feel like, you know, maybe it's egos, you know, there's a lot of like passion and talent, you know, kind of come together to do these things. Sometimes they clash.
I think a lot of it with a lot of sites, it's just an overabundance of gaming sites. Like we're at the point on the internet where anyone can make a blog.
Yeah.
Anyone can start a site. Anyone can do anything. And there's just so many sites and so many blogs that it's hard to know who's worth reading and who isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, I mean, like I've actually been trying to push for more video content, mainly just because like there's so many people that like, and I'm one of them. Like I've been finding myself like watching more YouTube videos than I do reading blogs. And it used to be the other way around. But I think nowadays it's just like, it's a little bit more relaxing and a little bit more, I guess like stimulating to actually watch and hear stuff going on as opposed to like having to read it and interpret it myself, you know? I think just like the communication's a little bit clearer, in that vein. So that's why I think, like, I honestly think video is going to start, like, taking over. And that's what I liked about the Destructoid is, too, is because, like, you know, doing the Hey Ash, What You Play and stuff, like, you know, they would essentially, like, do mini game review portions of games, like, and saying, like, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. But, you know, it's a 2-minute, 3-minute video, and they're adding a bunch of other stuff on top of it that, like, you don't realize that you're getting, like, information until you actually, like, go and think back to, like, oh, yeah, they really didn't like this about this game, and they didn't really like this about that game. Like, it's just a very creative and unique way of kind of, like, going about that, as opposed to just, like, typing down, this game sucks because of this, and this game's cool because of this. Like...
I'm still of the opposite mindset where I still prefer to read stuff. I kind of avoid video reviews and video. I would rather read something and listen to music in the background or have TV on in the background. But that's the glory of different sites where they have everything.
Everything. Yep.
So if you want to watch a video review, you can. If you would rather just read something, that's there too.
Oh yeah, I totally know what you mean. I've been trying to get, for example, we have forums, and I'm like, you know, I meet people that only use the forums. I'm like, hey, you know, why don't you, you know, try blogging, or, you know, try the, you know, we have a chat system now, or, you know, something like that. But it seems like certain kinds of users just prefer the, like, their little part of the site. Like, they don't really like talk to the other part. It's just a thing.
Yeah, I would love to blog more. Like, if I wasn't writing for Save Continue, I would probably go back to using my Destructoid blog, because I used to do some stuff on there a while ago, and I just kind of fell out of writing until everything happened and I started working with the Gaming Vault and now Save Continue. And like, all my writing now is just new stories for that. Or I, the first time I did like an actual legit article was about it being a year since the end of Rock Band, and that went live on Bleeding Cool last Friday, which it felt pretty cool to have an article on a site that gets traffic.
Yeah. more than double digits.
It's not Destructoid, but who knows? Maybe that'll still happen. I just got to bribe enough people.
Something like that.
I figure if I interview all of you, it'll get to the point where everyone knows me, and they'll be like, why the fuck don't we just have him?
It could be one of those things where it's just like, it's almost like a, I don't want to say a pity fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, wow. Joe's really giving it his all. Like, why don't we give him one?
if I ever start writing for Destructoid, that'll be my introduction. It's like, hi, thanks, I'm Joe. I'm the pity fuck hire for Destructoid. You'll see, like,
totally.
You'll see three things from me, and then they'll never ask me again.
If we can get that, like, as your title printed on the business card, I think that would be
Joe Camisa, pity fuck hire, Destructoid.com.
Yes.
That'd be fantastic.
It is all in your hands now, Nero.
Oh man,
we let editors choose what gets printed on the back of the card. I don't want to know what you would go with.
it would be a giant sausage. A very large sausage.
That'd probably be something Earthbound related,
or yeah
or Rock.
You want a bicycle?
Yes.
It would be you on a bicycle as an Earthbound sprite.
God.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Or hell, we could always try sneaking the SML podcast on Destructoid.
Oh yeah.
get it on three sites now.
Then we'll totally break double digits. Totally. It's almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
I don't know, man.
So the Destructoid thing going on for about like 8 years now, like, do you ever find yourself to the point, I mean, I know that you said that you still enjoy doing it. Is there ever a point where you feel like there's something else that you would really want to implement with the site, but you're just not sure how it would get received?
Yeah, we've tried all kinds of stuff. And you know, there's always that insecurity that, you know, maybe people are getting bored of the site. You know, how do we stay fresh? How, you know, what do we try? We've tried all kinds of stuff. We've tried to, like do deals on the site. We've tried to have like some sort of like meet up and play social network thing. There's a bunch of things that we've built out all the way and, you know, spent so many hours just, you know, like doing a bunch of custom code, and it ends up sucking, and, you know, you just cut your losses and you try something else. Even, you know, our video stuff, like, we'll come up with a new series, and, you know, we'll do a couple episodes, and, you know, no one cares. And then you just scrap it and you move on to the next one. Like, if you're not like, I don't know, like, the best advice I can give people is like, if you're not failing constantly and measuring it and then iterating on it, you're just not going to get there. Like, I've made a bunch of terrible things constantly. I use Google Analytics, and, you know, I keep an eye on the numbers, and if it doesn't work, we just, you know, we kill it and move on to the next one.
Yeah, we have made 58 terrible things so far.
Yeah, they're all terrible. There's one that might have finally broke like 100 videos. I don't know. I'm not sure.
The Lonely Rolling Stars episode was pretty good.
The Lonely Rolling Stars episode is the one that is by far the most popular of our archive.
Yeah, followed by our 4-hour-long MAGFest episode.
Yeah, because we just really like MAGFest. Like, we really do.
Yeah, podcasting is tough. We've been kicked off of iTunes, I think, for a couple of times for being too adult or something. I don't know what it
really
was.
Wow, because we're on, we just got on iTunes not so long ago. Yeah, and we're pretty awful at times.
We're relatively clean this week with you on. It's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, fuck shit, piss cunt, but whatever. something like that.
God.
Podcasting to me is a mystery. I don't know how it works. It seems like a black box.
Yeah, we don't really get it either, but we're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
we're pretty much doing it to humor ourselves and our friends, and
yeah,
good enough.
And then if someone else listens to it here and there, it's just like, hey, that's a thing, I guess. That's cool. Yeah. I used to be. I mean, I've always been told that I have a face for radio, so I'm just, you know, this is something that is my calling.
I have a body for radio.
Hell yeah, you do. No, it's the best kind of body. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I've always considered myself to be an entertainer, and I think, you know, in one of these regards, that's just what I like to do. This is entertaining.
Yeah.
For the people that listen.
It keeps us off the corner.
You know what? Times are tough. I think I need to get back to the corner. Money's tight, bro.
Early days of StruckCode, I had a kind of like an insecurity about that, because I'm kind of like a very behind the scenes type of a person. Mm-hmm. I'm not the life of the party kind of guy. And I noticed that on the popular sites, you know, they had these huge personalities. So even though it was my blog, I quickly learned that I had to take a backseat and find, you know, these guys that just have the gift for it. And I think that, you know, that's also a thing that maybe holds some websites back, where, you know, the guy running the show wants to be, you know, like the forefront. So that's how I kind of like fizzled out into like obscurity on the site. I just realized that like there's people that just, you know, did the job so much better than me that I went from being editor in chief to like being completely invisible.
Yeah, but you know what? That's just realizing how to run a good business. I mean, if you know that there's someone that does something better than you, instead of holding the company back, you know, letting that person take the reins, that's just smart business.
Yeah,
that's just how I look at it, you know.
Yeah, it was hard on the ego, but I was like, you know, maybe I'm not such a good writer. Like, what is this AP style? I've never heard of this. I'm the king of run-on sentences. And I never once wrote a video game review. I think I posted over 2,000 articles on the site, and I just never had a passion for reviewing games or knew how to do it well. Hmm. And that's how I met Anthony Birch. You know, he was just so outspoken and so articulate. And so I said, you know, this guy has to be our features editor. And that was history. And look at him now.
Yeah. Anthony Birch is probably my, I mean, like, no offense to anyone else on the website, but Anthony Birch is my favorite. He's my favorite. I got to meet him at PAX last year. And he was just the raddest dude ever. Like, he was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, and he's just like, and really, like, as you said, like, articulate, he's a fucking, he's smart. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing, and you know, he's not by any means just kind of like going through the motions on anything. Very passionate, like just all around, just really good dude. So,
yeah, he's like half my age, and I felt dumb. I was like, he's you'd think he's like a personality, you know, by his videos, or like he's, you know, that's not really him. And he's that person all the time.
Oh God.
Yeah. Which is great, because like I watch the videos and stuff like that, and I'm like, I wonder what that guy would be like in real life. And then I met him and I'm like,
that's what he's like in real
life. Fucking awesome.
That's exactly what he's like. Yeah.
It's great. It's fucking great.
So out of all the employees that you've had over the years, who do you think are some of the most standout people that you've had write for you?
Like
you've already talked about Anthony Birch and how he's just insanely articulate, and everyone knows where he's gone to now.
Yeah.
And just amazingly talented.
One of my favorite game franchises of all time now.
Yeah. I would imagine Jim Sterling has to be near the top of that list with all the notice he's gotten.
Yeah, Jim is great. Let's see. So, let's see. Going over the years, Aaron Lindy moved on to work on Gears of War, I believe.
Wow.
He was one of our first Podtoid hosts. He was fantastic. You know, he wrote some features for us. My favorite article he wrote was entitled "Real Men Play Gradius."
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was really funny. I miss working with Chad Consumo, who is now over at Nintendo Golden Harris. He was just full of energy and just never in a bad mood, just funniest guy, obsessed with dolphins.
I was just going to ask if he ever bought a dolphin.
Oh God. I think it was a bunch of community members got together and like pitched in money so that he can go swim with the dolphin. And like, there's a photo of him like crying.
That's awesome.
Isn't that something?
That's so cool.
I love the internet.
Right.
He, Colette, Topher Cantler and, Alex Ryan used to do a podcast called Retro Force Go, which I miss dearly. It was a retro podcast, just one of the funniest podcasts I've ever heard. They had an amazing chemistry. Those guys have all moved on to the jobs in the gaming industry. Alex is doing PR now. Let's see. I talked about John Carnage now being over at Twitch. He was legendary for our Justin TV channel back in the day. Ray Gutierrez, who did our video, he's now over at PlayStation. Amazing talent. We talked about Dale, who's now our editor in chief. Started out as a music editor, and now he basically runs a show.
So how does it feel for you as someone that has made this company, as essentially like seeing all of these people and using it as a launching pad to really just kind of like excel to like crazy fucking heights?
Yeah, that's to be honest, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said it was like heartbreaking because it was really, really hard to let go of these people.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of like letting like your first kid, you know, go to college and move away, and like, you know, your wife's in tears, and then she gets over it.
Spare bedroom becomes her new knitting lounge or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yoga room.
Yep.
It would kill me, man. It would kill me. But then, you know, with experience, you soon learn that, you know, those, you still get to keep those friendships, and now you have friends at higher places, and they, you know, continue to help you, and it just feels good. So, you know, I used to think of, you know, Detoid as like a, almost like a, you know, kind of like a college for some of these people that wanted to break into the gaming industry. And now I really embrace it. I want people to go places, and, you know, there's only so much you can do with a gaming site. And, you know, we have a limited number of jobs. We're still independently owned. You know, we didn't go out and get venture capital or anything. So I can't keep these kids, you know, forever. So I'm very, very proud. And I even cut a video, not too long ago where it's, if you search for Destructoid, where are they now?
Yeah, I watched that. That was really cool to watch too.
It's amazing. I'm so proud of, you know, what these guys have accomplished, and I'm really happy to, you know, be a part of it and help people break into the gaming industry, and I'm kind of like paying it forward.
How does it feel to know that there's people out there who look at Destructoid as possibly a stepping stone to actually working in the game industry?
I think it's great.
Like they don't just look at you as, oh, I could write for you, or I could review games, or I could be a writer. They look like, hey, if I work for Destructoid and I write for them and I work hard, I could be in the games industry.
I think it's great. I'm more than happy to be that person. You know, guys come in here, they work really, really hard. And, you know, if they move on, it's because they deserved it. And, you know, people notice. So I completely embrace it.
That's very cool. I mean, it's really cool when you can sit down and talk to someone that that's so highly involved with a company and something that you've kind of, you know, you look up to as, you know, a major player in the industry. Because that's exactly what I consider Destructoid to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you actually sit down to talk to the brainchild behind it, and they and they've got like a good head on their shoulders, and they're just a really like a good dude to talk to, like it makes you feel that much higher about that company and that.
It's
that
like he's a real person or something.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean, though, like it's because it's the same thing with even with musicians. Like I've met musicians that I really looked up to, and if they're a total dick, like, it kind of like ruins the rest of their material for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really cool when you can kind of meet those people and they're chill and they're cool. You just like, it makes you want to be even more involved and, you know, want to use their product or site or what have you more.
Man, I'll never forget how lucky I am to be doing this. I wake up every day and just like, you know, I get to do this for one more day, you know? I feel super blessed, and there is no way I would have a big head about it. You just can't.
It's very, very cool. So one thing that we like to do on the podcast every week is we like to at least talk briefly about what we're currently playing. So if anything, if you do have time to play games, what are you playing right now?
Oh, last night I was working on my 3D Mario. My 3D Mario code. I just got to the frozen area. I think it's the third level.
Nice.
I got a Wii U for my parents, and we added each other on Miiverse. So I'm like leaving notes for my nephew. And
yeah. See, people, Wii U does not suck.
I'll have to add you.
Well, I was looking at the shop, and I was like, God, I don't really want to buy anything. Oh, Mystical Ninja, but yep, I already own
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah. Please tell me you got Earthbound.
I just picked it up. I never finished it when I was a kid. So I literally just started playing Earthbound like maybe 3 weeks ago.
That's your homework.
That's your homework.
I've rescued the neighbor's kid from the meteor. That's where I'm at.
Nice.
I will get to that game eventually.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
You'll be too busy playing Diablo.
Currently, yes, I will be too busy playing Diablo. Yes.
I'm fighting crows, and it's really witty game. I like the writing quite a bit.
I love the music. I've always loved the music in Earthbound. So what else is in your current game lineup?
Let's see. So we just got an Xbox One and the PS4. We've been playing a lot of Titanfall in the office. Nice. That's kind of like the go-to game right now. Let's see. We just got Infamous Second Son. I think next week, what do we have? I kind of alternate. Like, I'm like, my favorite system of all time is Super Nintendo. So I on a
call.
Weekend, like on a Sunday, I'll usually just pick up an old game and plow through that, or, you know, or I'll replay, like, you know, Ninja Gaiden on the Nintendo or something.
Yes. Nice. Yes. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Favorite game of all time is Mega Man 2.
Nice.
That's the only Mega Man game I've played.
Yeah, for February, we were doing the whole 4 for February thing, play 4 games you never played, and he never played a Mega Man game before, so I made him play Mega Man 2. And
yeah, that's the one.
It was good.
We finally drug him into the Mega Man universe.
It was fun.
Yeah. To me, that's like the near perfect game. That's it. I love that game.
That is so good.
Soundtrack, everything. I'm like singing it in the shower. big Castlevania fan. You know, I'll play through, like, you know, Super Castlevania. I love Super Metroid, one of my favorite games.
Fuck yeah.
That just had a birthday recently, didn't it?
Super Metroid?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, it was a... Was it 30 years? 20 years?
I forget, but I know it was like within like the past week or 2 weeks.
Might have been 20. I don't think it's 30. Who keeps Skyping
you? I don't know.
You?
Someone keeps messaging me on Skype. I don't know.
God damn.
It's probably, honestly, are you ready for this? It's probably my Diablo crew.
just be like, shut the fuck up. I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's my Diablo crew.
God damn it.
I'm sorry, dude. Fucking Diablo. Sorry. I'm a fanboy. What can I say?
We
I love
can't
Diablo.
Have nice things, Chris. That's why we can't have nice things.
I can't help it. I can't help derburbler.
So if Nero listens to this episode, he'll be talking, and it's just, yeah, I like Castlevania, and I like... Exactly.
Precisely. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't want to like send them a message because then they'll respond like idiots.
All four of them.
There's like
okay,
four or five.
Sorry,
of them
sorry, sorry, sorry. Yeah.
Like shut up,
shut up.
Yeah.
So anyway, you like retro games?
Yeah, I do. Super Nintendo was like my system. Like I just loved it. And,
so if you
also loved RPGs as well.
If you really liked your Super Nintendo. Then you obviously have played Killer Instinct, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so now that you have an Xbox One in the office, you need to play the new Killer Instinct, and you need to let me know how that is, because I really enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. So I would love to know other people's opinions, because it seems like everybody else that I talk to, they'll just be like, yeah, it's okay. I'm like, yeah, but it's really good. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Like. But it reminded me a lot of the original, and I just I dug it a lot. I was a big fan. Big fan.
It looks super polished. I have to check that out.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It is a really, really pretty game. All those particle effects.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. Throw the first fireball with Jago, and you just see it explode, and you're like, wow.
Pretty. So you said you've been playing Titanfall. What are your thoughts on that, since we've been talking about that on the show for the past couple weeks?
You know, I'm really impressed with the amount of content they put into it. I think, you know, getting so many maps, you know, right out of the gate was pretty cool. Really polished game. I think that I don't know if it's going to have mainstay, though. That's kind of what we're kind of talking about in the office, is whether or not this is going to be a thing. It's shipping consoles. Everyone wants to get a Xbox One to play Titanfall. So I think that was pretty smart on there. Yeah.
Although there is, I know I read, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I saw that Amazon is doing like an Xbox One with Forza for like $400 or something. or three.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, it's already, they're already gone.
No, I know a lot of places. Someone was doing the Titanfall bundle for $450, and a lot of other places are starting to match that. So that'll probably help move a couple more systems.
Yeah. So the feedback on Titanfall that I get from, you know, the editors, it's just really quirky. Like, some people don't like the rate that the weapons load. Some people complain about screen tearing. I think they did a fantastic job out of the gates.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple people mention screen tearing. I don't know if I'm just not noticing it or if I'm not getting it. But I haven't really had any issues with screen tearing, or at least anything I'm noticing.
You also might be really engulfed into the game.
True.
Yeah, maybe it's the type of TV we have or something. But there was that. And then, you know, a lot of people are debating, you know, some people like the campaign, some people don't. Some people are like, you know, like what is significance of the story where, you know, guy on robot hates other guy on robot? Like, you know, who cares?
Shoot robot, kill robot, kill guy in robot.
I think including the quote unquote campaign in Titanfall was just a way to say that they had a campaign in the game, because it's still just so 6-on-6 multiplayer games.
So kind of like Battlefield, maybe?
I don't play Battlefield, so I don't
know. Yeah, it reminds me of, like, you know, old school MechWarrior, kind of, where it's just like, there's a mech. Have fun.
like
go break stuff.
Like Genome?
We're going here to do stuff. Go do it. And then it's just a normal versus multiplayer match, and then it ends, and it's like, oh, we either captured that, or, well, we didn't get it, but next time. And that's the story of Titanfall.
So kind of like the campaign of Advance Wars?
I would imagine there's a lot more story to Advance Wars.
Nope, not really.
Advance Wars is pretty cool.
Yeah, go fight this guy over at this place, because he's there. Did you win? Cool, good for you. Go fight this other guy at this other place, because he's there.
Move the tank over there.
Technically, that could be said about a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Advanced Warriors, the way that I look at it is, Advanced Wars is essentially just, it's a modernized chess, which I'm perfectly fine with. Like, it was like almost like a Game Boy RTS kind of shit. It was cool. It was awesome. I love it.
That's a good analogy. I agree with that.
Yeah, I played the shit out of that game.
So you said you were also playing Second Son. What are your thoughts on that so far?
Oh, we're doing a live show tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific. So I haven't got my hands on it yet. We're saving it for tomorrow.
No, unfortunately, we can't hype that because this episode goes live on Friday. So you had your live show 3 days ago.
How was that live show that you haven't had yet? Was it good?
It was amazing.
Oh, so good to hear.
So that's a thing. So I'm looking forward to that. And I've been playing. So favorite music game of all time is Rhythm Tengoku on the GBA.
Nice, very nice.
I've been playing a lot. I've been playing a lot of that on the train.
Have you played the Wii version at all?
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I had it for a minute, and then I moved, and I think I gave it to somebody, or I lent it, and I've been meaning to pick it back up, but I never finished it.
Yeah, had it for a hot minute.
Oh, Jonathan Holmes is another one that I should mention, who is legendary. I mean, he loves that game. He's a Wii fanboy.
I enjoy my Wii. I do.
Yes.
I love my Nintendo systems.
I honestly, like, and I've said this on the podcast multiple times, but I'm going to say it again. Like, all I really need to be happy in gaming is I've got my PC that's built up really nice, and I want my Nintendo system. Because if I want something casual that I just want to sit and just lounge out and fucking pick something up and play it for a while, best company that I could possibly think of that does that really well is Nintendo. If I want a really hardcore, like, crazy gaming experience that's just really fucking, like, just really
then you'll
absurd,
get a Panasonic 3DO.
Then I will get the fucking R-Zone.
Yeah, Tiger R-Zone. One of these days, I'm going to get an R-Zone.
I got. I know I still have one. I have to find. It might have gotten lost in moving, but like, I mean, it's not in my possession, but it has to be in my family somewhere. Like, maybe my brother has it. I'm going to have to ask him, because I know he still has my 64, so.
We'll have to track down an R-Zone and give it away in a contest, considering we already gave away a GameCom.
Yeah, we did that.
On the podcast.
Would you like an OnLive? I've got a couple of those hanging around somewhere.
An OnLive? Oh, God.
Send them over. We'll give them away.
Yeah.
We love giveaways. Yeah.
Our Save Continue contest, sponsored by Destructoid. How mixed up does that get?
Yeah, right? That'd be interesting.
And we advertise it on Bleeding Cool. So.
Let's just throw in some other shit and see what sticks.
We had the new Crazy Taxi City Rush. It's like a mobile game. Sponsor our plugging. And I have a ton of that left over. If you guys want to give some of that away, I can ship some your way.
That'd be awesome, actually. I just looked into that, and it looks fucking awesome. Like, Tim mentioned it last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Ashley downloaded it, but me and my Windows phone.
Your Windows phone, man.
I love the phone, but just the game lineup is so small compared to everyone else. I love the phone. I love it.
You should probably get something that's not a Windows phone.
I'd love to get an iPod again. One of these days.
Oh, yeah. Shoot me your mailing address and I'll send you some stuff.
Sweet.
Nice. We'll have to swap gamer tags and shit, too. I'll play some Titanfall with you.
Done.
Something else that you should look into if you're having fun with Titanfall. I have been having equally as much fun with Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Oh, yeah.
I am having a blast with that game.
I actually kind of want to check that out on PC. Really bad. If it's on PC, isn't it?
I think that was the biggest surprise of E3 last year. Was we were like, "What the fuck?"
It's so much fun. I'm jumping between that and Titanfall every other night.
Yeah, the rumors were coming out, and we thought it was an elaborate practical joke. Like, even as the trailer was playing in the convention center, we're like, "This is not a real game."
Seen some of the like? Because I just started working it. Hot Topic, and we actually carry some of the Garden Warfare shirts, and one of them is like, what was it? It was a Petal of Honor, and it has the flower on the front of it, and then the other one was like, it was a Dead Space one, but I forget what the hell they...
I just got Ashley a Grass Effect shirt.
Yeah.
That's her anniversary gift, Grass Effect.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
It's fun. I'm speaking of games, I can't believe...
So last year, I snuck into...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, last year, as E3 starts to, you know, set up their booths or whatever, we're always kind of sneaking around the convention center looking for like rumors and like leaks, you know, taking photos of like crates and like trying to sneak around security. So we found a bunch of these posters for Garden Warfare, and we just thought they were making fun of AAA video games. Like, because they hadn't announced it yet. So I'm like, oh, that's funny. Look at them, you know, making fun of, you know, Call of Duty and stuff. And then it turns out to be, you know, this game.
And it's fun.
Did you finally get a chance to check out Dungeon Defenders to see if you got the comparison that I made?
No, I haven't tried it yet.
It really reminded me of like a Dungeon Defenders-esque type of thing, but there's more stuff going on. But it really reminded me of that game a lot.
I don't know. I'll try it eventually since it was free on Xbox.
Dungeon Defenders 2, that should be coming out like really, really soon.
I don't know.
Really soon. So.
But as I was about to say, speaking of games that I can't believe are real, I still can't believe that Angry Birds is having an RPG.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Bring this up. I need to see this. Bring it up on your phone. Ugh. I need to see this like right now.
Even I didn't actually watch the trailer. I just saw
stuff. Oh, there's
stuff
a trailer
about it.
For it? What the fuck?
Angry.
Like the kart racing thing, I could see them doing a kart racer because everybody's got a kart racer for kids. You remember the Nintendo one? But yeah, like not the Nintendo one, the fucking Nickelodeon one. That's what I meant to say. But yeah, Kart Racer, Angry Birds, sure, I get it. RPG? Like what kind of RPG were we talking? Like Final Fantasy-esque RPG?
I think so. Hold on, I'm pulling it up here.
Oh, God.
I feel dirty because I Googled it, and while I'm talking to the owner of Destructoid, I found a Game Informer link is the first one. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
You son of a bitch.
Angry Birds Epic. There.
Oh, God.
I don't know if they have a trailer there or not, but it's a real thing that exists.
An epic soft launch? What? I don't know. Turn-based adventure RPG. What the fuck?
Crafting
will play a large role. Well, of course it will, because they want you to fucking pay for all these crafting bits. What the fuck? Microtransactions, of course. Craft armor, potions.
This is what this podcast lives for. Moments where Chris finds out that Angry Birds has an RPG.
What the fuck?
Live on the show. What the fuck is
this? But how do you feel about the Diablo auction house?
I'm so glad it's closed. I'm so fucking glad it's closed.
Oh no, we're gonna get into.
Although I will say this, if it wasn't for the auction house, I wouldn't have the fucking expansion right now, because I was able to sell enough on the auction house to pay for the expansion before it went under. So, me being broke, I'm kind of glad that that happened. But yeah, the auction house was just breaking the game. Like, nobody was playing the game because they were just like, oh, I'm just going to go on the auction house and try and get as much gold and or real money that I can.
Oh, here we go. I found the Destructoid story about Angry Birds Epic. You could read that one instead.
I will. I would prefer.
Just for you, Nero.
Oh, that's okay, man. I read Game Informer like everyone else.
See?
But much appreciated.
I really, you know what though? Like already, I already like the first intro line so much better than the other one. Because here it is. If Angry Birds Stella was Rovio playing it safe, in quote, or not in quotations, but parentheses, make the same game, but the bird is pink. That way girls will know it's for them, even though girls and everyone else already play Angry Birds. The newly announced Angry Birds Epic is the opposite. So, I like that. That's good. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe that. I can't believe they're making a fucking RPG.
I just love your reaction to this.
Like, this is
to its existence.
It's fucking, it's not necessary. This is absolutely not. And there's a picture of Lady Gaga looking like a normal person. Right under believe that.
Was that one of the ads at the bottom?
Yeah. But, yeah, see, Lady Gaga is a real person. Fuck you, Joe. Leave Lady Gaga alone!
Oh, and it's that fucking ad with, like, the lady with the foot body.
Something like that.
I don't know. God, I hate that.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
That's the worst.
I hate that.
That's good. But, yeah, so fuck the auction house. I'm glad it's gone. Rest in piss. Goddamn fucking auction house bullshit.
You just had to bring up the Diablo auction house, didn't you, Nero?
Oh, I opened Pandora's box.
Yes, you have.
No, it's fine. It's an open and shut case. It sucked. I wish it didn't exist at all. There was no need for it. Fuck the auction house. I'm glad it's gone. Period.
Did you guys see that Muscle Cat game that came out of GDC?
Muscle Cat? I'm interested in both accounts.
Okay. Yeah,
I haven't heard anything.
This is a difficult one to explain. You're just gonna have to Google it. It's like there's so much weird indie stuff at GDC. There was like a sleeping bag that two people can get into, and like you make like this like caterpillar type motion, and that's how you control the game or something. Some funny stuff.
What?
I could go on for hours. There was a lotion bottle controller that some Japanese guy made.
A lotion bottle controller.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. If it wasn't
was
for,
it
like,
still
the
functional as a lotion bottle?
Yes. Yes. That is a thing.
That's okay. So apparently that's the point. Now I understand like incorporating weird things into controllers and or, you know, computer towers, because when I was younger and I had a lot of time on my hands, I built a computer tower that had a working faucet in it. And then I also had another one. No, that's no bullshit.
A working faucet.
A working faucet. There was a water line going through it because it was cooling everything. And then if you wanted to, you could release the water out of the front of it. And then it would just, yeah. So anyway, so there was that one. And then I also made another one that was coin operated. So like it essentially ran the power supply on a timer. So like you had to put a quarter in every like 20 minutes or 30 minutes to keep the power on for the computer.
Oh my God.
So I understand, like, people, like, incorporating, like, you know, electronics into weird, like, everyday kind of shit and vice versa. But I don't think a lotion controller, I don't know. Normally, you don't want to have those two mixing.
Is it for a hentai game?
It's specifically for a dating sim. on browser-based. That's what it was for. And it was hosted by Newgrounds.
The microtransactions are the pumps.
Yes. Oh God.
Well, I think this show has devolved as far as it can go right now.
Yep. So I think the lotion controller is a good ending point, really.
Indeed. I definitely want to thank you again for coming on to the show. It has been a blast talking with you.
My pleasure, guys.
I know we talked that we usually have music at the end of the episode, and you had a request. Did you want to announce who that was?
Yeah, I wanted to plug this guy I actually met at MagFest. He goes by name of Absurdist, and really into his stuff. It's I don't know, just cool. Check it out. He's on SoundCloud, and you can buy his stuff on Beatport, I think.
Yeah, and I grabbed the album you linked me to is Sugar Blossom and the Space Cadets, which is a great album title just to begin with.
Yep.
That was on Bandcamp, so you could get them on there. We'll have the info in the description for wherever you're hearing or watching this.
Whether it be YouTube, iTunes, SaveContinue.com, Bleeding Cool, Reddit?
I don't think we're on Reddit.
I don't know. Who 4chan?
Who knows? Maybe Nero will put a post on...
Meat Spin?
What? No. No,
I don't know. Don't forget to send your emails into SML podcast at
the SML podcast,
the SML podcast at gmail.com.
Why would you say Meat Spin?
Just go to it.
No.
Or Lemon Party.
No.
Or Kids in a Sandbox. Or.
Now I don't know what Kids in a Sandbox.
You don't
want to
know what that one is. That one's like the worst. It's so bad. Don't go to that one. Forget I said
that one.
I'm
going to that one right now.
That one's kind of hard to find, but if you find it, you'll want to unfind it.
I'm curious.
No,
what the fuck is it?
I don't even want to describe it. Like it's just nope.
Will we get kicked off iTunes if you describe it?
Maybe.
Oh, Lord.
Either that or the Pain Olympics. Just go to the Pain Olympics. Don't do that either, actually.
Why do you keep saying this stuff?
I can't help it. It's a problem. Yes, I have Tourette's.
God, I hate you. But yes, the Absurdist, the album Sugar Blossom and the Space Cadets. Were there any specific songs you wanted played off that or just whatever?
I think the title track is, the first track is amazing. He was... he just set up a table like in the hallway at MagFest and he was just going at it. And
nice.
People were just freaking the hell out. I thought it was a great, great album.
Nice. All right. So we'll play that and the link's in the description. And thanks again to you, Nero, for joining us. And do you have any final words for our listener?
No, thanks for listening. Check us out at detoid.com. We do it for fun and, I don't know. Thanks so much, guys. Been amazing.
Yay! Cool.
I was waiting for something smart-assy or...
Yeah, we normally do like a go fuck yourself or I don't know.
So, okay, we'll try this again. Nero, do you have any final words for our listeners?
Go die in a fire and follow me on Twitter at Detoid Nero.
And at Dale North.
I'm not afraid of the dark. Oh, bonus.